Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The book of the month, the book that we are featuring, the book that we are putting into your hands as you support the ministry during the entirety of this month, titled Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith. You can get your copy for your support on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, that zip code 28271, and our resource consultants is always standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. This is one of those deep dive programs. We're going to dive into Forensic Faith. This is an extraordinary book written by an extraordinary individual. Before I do that, let me set the table. Because too often, I think, people suppose that the task of the defense of the faith is the exclusive domain of scholars and theologians, but that's simply not the case. The defense of the faith is not optional. It is basic training for every believer, and that means you. J. Warner Wallace, a.k.a. Jim, teaches us, and I'm going to ask him about this in just a few moments, he teaches us to be sheepdogs. What does that mean? Well, we'll find out. Not only that, but apologetics is not just a nicety. I call it a necessity. And this is not original with me. Writing in a world that was steeped in mystery cults, you have the Apostle Paul vigorously defending the gospel. And by the way, he charged Timothy and Titus to emulate what he was doing. Not only must the church defend herself against objections from without, she must guard against false teaching from within. And therefore, Paul admonishes Timothy to preach the word. I love this text. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time is going to come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They'll turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myth. So defending essential Christian doctrine against all kinds of perversions by pseudo-Christian cults is just a very critical task for the Christian, and especially for the Christian apologist, which all of us ought to be. In a post-truth culture in which theism is no longer in vogue and belief in the possibility of miracles is viewed as, well, sort of simple-minded superstition, the defense of the faith creates intellectual room for the acceptance of the gospel. So in place of merely pontificating dogmatic assertions, all of us are commanded to provide defensible arguments with gentleness and with respect. Again, this is increasingly necessary in the age in which we live, and that's why I am very, very pleased to be presenting Forensic Faith. For those who support the ministry, once again, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can acquire your copy on the web at equip.org, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. The author of Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Faith, joins me now on the broadcast. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you so much for having me, Hank. You know what a big fan I am, and just how proud I am to be on part of your show.
It's great to have you on the show. Look, a couple of things. First of all, you are a homicide detective.
That's right. Yeah, that's how I really started out examining the claims of Christianity. I wasn't a Christian until I was about 35, and And back in those days, I didn't really even know there was a field of study called apologetics. I was just presented with the person of Jesus, and I thought, well, I need to know, do the Gospels tell me something I can trust? And I just applied a skill set that I had for testing eyewitnesses. And I'm usually working in cases that are old and which, you know, they haven't been solved. I work cold cases. So that skill set actually came in handy. That's the only reason why I became a Christian. Well, and lots of reasons why I became a Christian. But that's the only technique I had available to me. That's the only thing I knew in my professional work. And so that's the approach I took. It was really very much an investigative approach from top down.
So again, you are a homicide detective making the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. Now, this is the third in a trilogy of books, and I think it's reasonable to explain to our listening audience why this trilogy, what each one of the books really teaches us in sort of a sequential fashion in which we build precept upon precept.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, for me, I started off kind of backwards. I was interested in Jesus because I attended a church. I had never sat in a church before, and I attended this evangelical church at least. And so I sit in this church, and the pastor pitches Jesus as a smart ancient sage. Off I go now. I bought a Bible. I'm studying the Gospels to see if I could trust anything they had to say about Jesus. And as I'm studying through those, I got to a point where I felt like, hey, they're passing the test in any number of ways that I would typically examine and test in any eyewitness account. But they contained these supernatural, miraculous events, and that was, for me, a deal killer because I was a very committed philosophical naturalist as an atheist. I had no Christians or no believers in my family, not really even anybody who believed in, some might have believed in God, but they certainly weren't Christians. And I needed to know, was the existence of God even reasonable? So I have two books. Cold Case Christianity is about my investigation into the Gospels, and God's Crime Scene is about my investigation into the existence of God in general. But I've noticed, Hank, and you might know this too, you speak around the country as much as anybody, and I find myself at locations where people have asked me to come in and make the case, either for Christianity, for the reliability of the Bible, for the existence of God, any number of things. And I find myself in a bit of a dilemma because typically, I'm just going to be honest with you, I get asked in sometimes by a member of the church who has some say with the pastor, has some influence. The pastor sometimes isn't even sure he wants me there, to be honest. What is this? Why do I even need – the idea of coming in and making a case evidentially for some of these things seems foreign in many places. And so for me, I found myself having to take a first step to be able to make the case – for why we should be making the case before I could ever make the case for Christianity or for God's existence. So this third book does just that. This is a case, really, for why all of us have this duty you just talked about to be able to make a case for what we believe, the reason for the hope we have in Jesus. And that's what this book, Forensic Faith, is about. It's about kind of rethinking the way you may have been thinking about faith in a way that I think is much more biblically consistent. And by the nature of its evidential approach, I start to call it forensic, and that's why we call this forensic faith.
Yeah, it's a case for making the case. Maybe I'm getting ahead of our schedule here, but I mentioned this in the opening. I like the fact that you want all of us to be sheepdogs, and somewhere in your book I read that you're not looking for the next million-dollar apologist. You're looking for a million-$1 apologist. Explain all that.
Yeah, and when I first started talking about this years ago, and I wrote the first book, my agent, my publishing agent, said, "Hey, you know what, Jim? You can't say that because if you say that, you're going to be offending people who we might consider to be million-dollar apologists." And I said, "Okay, I get it." So I never wrote about it until this third book. But what I'm trying to say here is not that there are these million. No one doing apologetics is making $1 million. Okay, but the idea here is that as a church, we have a sense of value for the people we trust, we go to. Hank, you were that guy for me when I was becoming a Christian, and I needed some reasonable, evidential approach to what Christianity taught and the claims of Christianity. You were my option. I would listen to the radio every day in Los Angeles at 3 o'clock. And I can tell you that I would have considered you at the time a million-dollar apologist because the value you had in my life was huge. And there's probably for everyone listening here to have a similar story. But what I'm trying to say is that, hey, you know, if the goal is that we're going to become case makers and defend Christianity and someday have a radio show, well, then no one's going to start. What we need instead are people who see their everyday walk as Christians as an exercise in making the case for what they believe. Instead of $1 million apologist, we need $1 million apologist. We all have to take on this responsibility. And young people, for example, are far more likely to want to hear the case for Christianity from their parents than they are, you know, especially their younger years in junior high, high school. We as parents have to be the best apologist that our kids know. And that's going to require us to know just enough. Don't know everything, but know enough to get started when people ask the tough questions.
Back to the idea of sheepdogs. What do you got in mind there?
Well, you know, in every sheepyard, you've got sheep and you've got wolves. And I think cops, me especially, and most of us who work in this job in law enforcement, we kind of see the world is divided between sheep and wolves. Our job is to protect the sheep from the wolves. And in Christianity, you know, I didn't even realize this until I became a Christian, that Jesus referred to believers as a sheep. We are like sheep. And that, to me, as a cop, was never a compliment. That was a pejorative. That was like, you know, sheep don't even know they're often under attack. But there's a third animal in the yard, and those are sheepdogs. Sheepdogs are there to protect the sheep from the wolves. And so every sheepdog ministry across America today is either a military ministry or it's a first responder law enforcement ministry. Those folks who see themselves as the guardians, the sheepdogs. And so I always say, if the yard was full of sheepdogs, we wouldn't have a wolf problem. We have a wolf problem because we don't have enough sheepdogs doing the sheepdog job. But of course, all of us who are sheep have that option of studying and becoming a sheepdog. It's up to us. And if we did that, we wouldn't have the wolf problem I think we're seeing in the culture right now.
Talking to J. Warner Wallace, the book Forensic Faith, a Homicide Detective, makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith. This book is... it's fantastic on a lot of levels. I suppose the biggest thing I would say about this book, personally as an author, is it is accessible. He's taking the complex, making it understandable so that you can assimilate the information and then you can make the case for making the case for Christianity. It is much needed. You can get your copy for your support of the ministry, equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or, as always, you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Jim, here's something that's sort of a conundrum in a way. On the one hand, we have so many nuns, meaning... so many more people who have no religious affiliation. So we have this mass exodus of people out of the churches. On the other, this seems to be the golden age of apologetics. You have people like you writing fantastic books. You have my good friend Lee Strobel making a fantastic movie about his life and his mission. So apologetics is out of the basement. It is in the forefront. How do you explain the dichotomy with this growing number of people leaving the church and at the same time apologetics being on the forefront?
Yeah, and I think that's because they are so interconnected, right? It's in times of stress, in times of persecution, in times of challenge, that people either surrender or rise up to the challenge. And so what we're seeing now, it shouldn't surprise you that when you see a rise in people making the case for Christianity, you can think to yourself, well, why would that be occurring? Well, it's occurring because Christianity is under attack, and the number of people who are slipping out of the church and are either unaffiliated altogether, the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, no affiliation with anything, or those who are just saying, I'm just no longer... Now, interestingly, you and I both know this, Hank, the number of atheists is not growing proportionate to the number of nuns. So there's still a generation of kids, of young people. I say kids because I'm in my 50s, but there are a generation of young people that are out of the church, perhaps, but they aren't yet identifying themselves as atheists. They're just saying, I have no religious affiliation. I think that is the group that can be reached. They are not yet anti-theists, and they're not atheists. They are just people who have just recently slipped out of their affiliation with Christianity. And I think it's time for us to make a case to that group of nuns. I think we could be quite effective if we did that.
Not many people today are reading like they ought to be reading. They're looking at their smartphones. They're watching television. They've got all kinds of options with the digital media platforms. This is the time to re-educate yourself to the art of reading. This is not sort of a peripheral issue. This is a very central issue. We're talking not about some esoteric thing here. We're talking about defending the faith once for all delivered to the saints. I mean, there can be no higher calling. And I have spent a lifetime doing just that. And I've often said the real issue is not evangelism, it is equipping for evangelism. Because if you are equipped, God will give you the opportunity to reach people. And there's no greater joy or thrill than leading someone to the place that you got a piece of bread and you got a drink. And this bread is everlasting bread. This water will cause you to thirst no more. Forensic faith, I think, is a must. Maybe you got a stack of books. Well, put this on the stack of books, but read it. It is available for those who support the ministry. Again, equip.org. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, the letter CRI. We're going to be right back with this deep dive in J. Warner Wallace. You don't want to miss it.
For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense. And we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence of their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and an appeal for people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. This ministry reaching out literally around the globe. Last year, I spoke in 8 different countries, and the impact of our broadcast ministry is literally being seen to the ends of the earth. I was just looking at the statistics the other day, and just in the last 2 weeks, we have had, I'd call it a CRI rally if you want to compare it to Wall Street. The numbers of people listening, if I get this straight, to our archived or recorded broadcasts is up 87% in just the last couple of weeks. The people listening online, live, is up 70%. And on top of that, all kinds of brand new doors seem to be popping open for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute to get the message out on traditional media platforms. And so we're grateful for all of that. But remember, all of that is made possible by people like you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Back to my interview with J. Warner Wallace, a.k.a. Jim. He is a homicide detective who has taken his very unique skill set and used it to write books that will equip us to be able to reach the world. And that's why we're here. Only one life soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Well, Jim, when he was an unbeliever, assumed that blind faith was a Christian requirement. In fact, Jim, I think you say as much in the book.
Yeah, I actually never met, you know, the people I knew who were Christians in my world at that time. I didn't have family or close friends, but I did have a couple of work associates, you know, police officers. But they were the kind of folks, though, that if you asked them to make a case, you know, for why a particular suspect was guilty of this crime or why we should be working a particular guy, they could give you 10 reasons, 15 reasons, 20 reasons. But if you asked them, give me a few reasons why you trust that the New Testament is telling us the truth of why you believe a miracle like the resurrection could ever occur, they were flat-footed. They really couldn't give me those kinds of answers. I thought to myself, okay, wait, hang on. You're so evidential about your professional life, making these decisions that are often life and death. If we're working a homicide suspect, this could be a death penalty case. These are big decisions we're making, and you would never think to make those kinds of decisions without a really good list of evidences to make your case to a jury down the road. But when it comes to, you know, big issues like whether or not God exists, you don't seem to take that same approach. And as a matter of fact, the other group of Christians I knew were the people I was were taking to jail. I mean, we used to tease these guys that we take to jail who would tell us that they were, you know, they just attended a revival of some sort, or they'd just been saved, you know, a month before or a year before, and here they are doing bank robberies, and we're taking them to jail for some crime. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so this group apparently doesn't hold any evidence, any evidential explanation for why they believe Christianity is true, and then half of them don't even behave as though it's true. I just wanted nothing to do with – now, of course, that's not what Christianity is. You and I both know that. But sometimes for those of us who aren't Christians, we just have a sense of seeing it through the lens of who we're around, and that's what I was seeing. And so I knew that if that was what Christianity was, I could not step in that direction. I was really – surprised when I started reading the New Testament to see the evidential approach that Jesus took. This, the way he would consistently, they say, for example, in the Gospel of John, where he's always saying things like, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, at least believe the evidence of these miracles I've worked in front of you. The approach he took with John the Baptist when he was, had skepticism, you know, and he sends, John sends his disciples, you know, Jesus, are, John's in custody. He wants to know, are you the one? And he, that was a great opportunity for Jesus to sound like my work friends, if he wanted to. That's not what he did. Instead, he works three miracles in front of John's disciples, and he says, go back and tell John what you just saw. And that, to me, was very powerful, because it meant that this worldview was not asking me to believe something, was never asked anyone to believe something that there wasn't good reason to believe. And that changed the way I started to look at Christianity.
You know, Socrates, Jim, is well known for saying that the unexamined life is not worth living. And I suppose you're saying something very, very similar to that, that the unexamined faith is not worth having or sharing.
Yeah, I think there's such a high value in detective work for not making the mistake that leads you to a false conclusion, right? Because that means that somebody's life, their freedom, is in jeopardy if we don't treat these matters very seriously. That's why sometimes you'll meet cops like us and you'll think, wow, this dude's really serious. You know, he's not, doesn't seem to like ever relax. You know, it's just the facts, ma'am, kind of an approach. Well, that's because we are concerned with any kind of false conclusions or errant conclusions based on a sloppy job we might have done evidentially. So we do take these things seriously. So when I read that quote that you just played a minute ago from C.S. Lewis, that, you know, this is either not true, in which case you can disregard it, it's of no importance, or it is true, which means it's ultimately critically important, but the one thing it cannot be is moderately important, I saw that and I said, bingo, that's exactly right. If this is true, it's like life-changing kind of true. It means that I'm going to have to be all in. I'm going to have to take an approach and change my life accordingly, based on the kind of truth the statement this is. This is not a matter of what's your favorite dessert. This is a matter of what is the nature of reality. And it did change everything for me.
I'll tell you to Jim Wallace, his book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective, makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. I want to also mention in this regard that if you get both his books, Forensic Faith and Cold Case Christianity, we'll send both resources for your gift of $100 or more. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or again, write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And again, our resource consultants, they are standing by as we speak, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Give us a little overview on your book. In other words, talk us through it, maybe in a summary fashion.
Yeah, I think there are four things that first responders do that we do as detectives. We have to kind of make it part of our DNA that I think do transfer over well. And you might think, well, why would anybody care about how first responders or detectives see the Christian worldview? But for us, we are always in the world. We are always in the culture. We are first responders. We're there to serve and protect. So you're constantly in the culture, but at the same time, you've had to take steps to remove yourself from the culture in a way that, because of your training, because of your sense of duty, the way you act and the way you ought to act anyway, and the way you investigate and communicate truth claims, you have a certain apartness about you, and you wear a uniform that sets you apart. You've got a whole other level of ethical laws and rules and regulations that set you apart. We've got a whole expectation and related to training and duty that sets you apart, yet we are actively in the culture every minute we're on duty. So to me, that was kind of an interesting paradigm there, that you are always in the culture, but you're not really of the culture. You're supposed to be, you're supposed to have a higher standard. And when we don't see officers holding up to that higher standard, we get upset. And we ought to get upset because we know that there ought to be a higher standard. Well, I looked at that and said, well, what is it about that kind of work, the kind of work we're doing that does set it apart? And I think it's four things. Number one, it's about a sense of duty, understanding what it is we're here to do and swearing in to do it, giving your life to it, even being willing to die in the course of doing this work. It's a sense of elevated duty. That's number one. Two, it's a matter of how we train, and we consistently train. And most of the time, Hank, we're training for things that are never going to happen. I mean, most of the time when you're training in live fire situations or in critical situations, you hope you're never going to ever have to encounter that kind of situation, but you train in case you do. And so you're constantly training. And the third thing is that you have to learn how to investigate truth claims, because every time you roll to a call, someone's probably going to lie to you. And you got to be able to figure out who's lying and who's telling the truth and where do we go from here. And then fourth, is this idea that we have to be able to ultimately make a case for why we believe this is, whatever this thing is we're talking about is true, this robbery series, this murder, whatever it may be, and be able to make that case persuasively to the DA who's going to make the case persuasively to a jury. So I think it's those four things, duty, training, investigating, and communicating, that really can be applied to our Christian life, our Christian walk. Because if we could do those four things differently, if we can understand what our duty is and that we have a duty to make the case, this is not an option like you said earlier. You know, Paul says this in Ephesians 4, that some of you are pastors, some of you are evangelists, some of you are teachers. So that means that some of you aren't. But Peter never says some of you are called to give the reason for the hope you have in Jesus. He says all of you. It's an all of you kind of command. It's if you're a Christian, but you aren't a Christian case maker, you're living an abbreviated Christian life. This is a duty we have to understand what the evidence is so we can communicate it to others. And of course, training is about the difference between teaching and training. And then I want in the book to kind of give you the basic principles, the kind of daily habits that we have as detectives that help us to read the text differently. When I applied that strategy to the Bible, it opened up for me. And then finally, how do we communicate this and how do you select a good jury? Those kinds of things I think are important as well.
Selecting a good jury. As part of the process, J. Warner Wallace, the book Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective, makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. I mean, this is the case for making the case, and we have the greatest case imaginable. Our Lord and Savior, and I have fallen deeply in love with Him, not just on an intellectual level. There's knowing and there's knowing, but on an experiential level. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is not a dead Messiah. The saints that go on before us are living. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And therefore, we're instructed to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and then run the race marked out before us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame. And then He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that we do not grow weary and lose heart. In our struggle against sin, we have not yet resisted to the point of shedding our own blood. This is not what's happening in the Middle East. In the Middle East, Christians are being crucified for their faith. They're having their fingertips cut off. They're being exiled. They're being executed. Here we live in a post-truth culture, and certainly there is a barrage of negativity towards Christian anthropology. We see that in gender fluidity. We see that in same-sex sexuality. But the reality is we're not being martyred for our faith. And yet the early Christians were willing to die for their faith. Why? Because they had seen the resurrected Christ. What J. Warner Wallace is asking us to do is simply, and remember the word he used, simply train ourselves, equip ourselves to make the case for the greatest story ever told. And this story is not a story as in a fable. This is a story that is demonstrably true. I'm excited about the book. And I want to put this book in your hands again for those who support the ministry. Just check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. You've tuned in to a deep dive with J. Warner Wallace. We're talking about his book, Forensic Faith. We're going to be back in just a few moments with the quote of the day, which has to do with his book, and more answers from J. Warner Wallace. You don't want to touch that dial.
Because much of CRI's mission consists of equipping Christians with what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith, we think his new book, Forensic Faith, is a must-read. Wallace's book is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes good sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence for their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. All Christians, but especially ones in college, must know what they believe and why they believe it if they have any hope of surviving with their faith intact. The reason, according to J. Warner Wallace, is obvious. College is almost like an atheistic ambush. Christians often enter the university arena totally unaware of the danger until it is too late. And that's why Wallace has written Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, we're talking today about Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. It's making the case that we are called to make the case. Just a terrific book. We have other books from Jim Wallace available, including Cold Case Christianity. When you order both books for your support of $100 or more, We'll send them out with our gratitude for you and your standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. As I was reading through this book, I was struck by a quote. This quote by a Franciscan priest, Brennan Manning. I thought that that would be an appropriate quote of the day. It goes as follows. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians. Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and then deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Again, the quote of the day by Brennan Manning. You'll find it on the web later on, but you'll also find it in the book. Abdul Murray said something about this book, and he's someone that I hold in high regard. He was a former Muslim. He was listening to the show when he was a Muslim. He's now the North American director of Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. He's the author of The Grand Central Question. And he says this about Forensic Faith, the book. J. Warner Wallace has done all of us a service with Forensic Faith. In these pages, Jim not only makes a great case for the importance of apologetics, but also gives a thorough and thoughtful method for how to use apologetics in discussing the credibility of the Christian faith. As a trained trial attorney and evangelist, I highly recommend Forensic Faith. Again, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll continue our discussion with J. Warner Wallace. As we do, I want to ask you this question, Jim. You make a case in the book for a rich, robust history of the historic Christian faith. Expand on that for our audience.
Yeah, I think it's sad that we kind of have to do that, not just for the world around us. It doesn't really make me know what Christianity proposes, what the claims of Christianity are, but even for our brothers and sisters in the faith who maybe don't understand why we would feel this duty to defend what we believe evidentially. But if you look at the history of Christianity, it begins with Jesus himself. And I try to talk about several passages in Scripture where Jesus takes an evidential approach, either as he'll talk about witnesses, he'll talk about testimony, these are forms of direct evidence. He'll talk about miracles. He'll talk about other people's experiences with him, which are forms of indirect or circumstantial evidence. Repeatedly, over and over and over again, Jesus doesn't make claims. He first works the miracles that substantiate the claims, so he can point back to that evidence to say, look, I didn't just say this. You saw it with your own eyes. That is a very evidential approach. And by the way, this is not something that many other religious world leaders in history have been able to do, right? I mean, nobody else rises from the dead and then spends 40 days, it says in Acts 1, with his disciples after the resurrection, presenting many quote-unquote convincing proofs, as if the resurrection itself was not enough. It would have been enough for me, but even after that, he spends 40 days presenting additional pieces of evidence for the disciples, because he's about ready to commission them to do something crazy. And they're the next step in this process, right? Because those who were picked primarily on the basis of their eyewitness authority. In that upper room in Acts, you see that they're trying to replace Judas, and they're replacing him with somebody who, according to Peter, had to, as a precondition, have seen Jesus from the baptism to the resurrection. In other words, he's looking for another form of direct evidence. He's looking for another eyewitness. So even the selection of those who became apostles was dependent evidentially on their status as eyewitnesses. Of course, the next step in this is that a few of these actually wrote letters and books and documents that became the New Testament canon. Well, what gets them in? Well, primarily, you know, there's a lot of books that were used by the first century church that did not become part of the canon. Shepherd of Hermas, First Clement, there's several of these. Why aren't they in there? Well, because we could not tie them back to an eyewitness that we could say with certainty. Even a book like Hebrews, which kind of like sits on the border for some period of time, it sits there because we're not quite sure who wrote it. And so the idea that eyewitness status was pivotal to the canon is yet another step in the long, rich, evidential history of Christianity. And of course, I went a little further than that, because if you look at the first Christians that became the most proclaimed and prominent Christians in the world, were all usually some form of apologist. They were some form of case maker defending what they believed in the first, second, third century. And of course, we have a command in Scripture, which finally gives us our own evidential commission, because we are told by Peter in 1 Peter 3 that we are to do the same thing. So to me, as I read through the pages as a new investigator of Christianity, I was encouraged. And of course, look, it may very well be, Hank, that I'm looking at it through the lens of my own interests, right? Because I'm a detective. But I can tell you this, for many of us who are still skeptical about the claims of any religious worldview, the idea that Christianity could be examined evidentially was so encouraging to me. Oh my gosh, it made all the difference in the world to just see that from the very lips of Jesus of Nazareth, you had a guy who was committed to an evidential approach. I'm not just going to ask you to believe this blindly. I am going to give you good reasons to believe this is true. I'm going to present you with the evidence.
I want to take a little personal twist in the conversation. Maybe as prologue, let me say that you and I think, could say in unison, we've looked at the evidence for the fatal torment of Jesus Christ. We know that the tomb was empty, that Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. We know that Jesus Christ appeared, as you just alluded to, gave many convincing proofs that he had indeed risen from the dead. But then something happened as a result of that for you and me and for the early disciples. We were radically transformed. It was not just knowing information about Jesus, but it is as though Jesus has become as real to us as the very flesh upon our bones. So we're not just talking about a case for Christ, we're talking about the experience of Christ. I want you to personally underscore that in your own life.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, experience, of course, is another form of direct evidence. We have this direct experience of something, right? And we know that. I mean, if you'd asked anyone who knew Jim Wallace the week before I became interested in Christianity, will Jim Wallace ever be a Christian? If you were to watch my life, my profane life that I lived before becoming a Christian, you would have guessed there's no way. I mean, people who knew me would say there's just no way. Even today, they tease me about the fact that I became a Christian. So what happened here was an experience that for me was as real as, but of course the question is, what is the cause of that experience? And here's why I say that. My dad remarried in the 1960s. His second wife is LDS. She's a Mormon. I've got six brothers and sisters who were all raised as Mormons. They also will tell me they've had a transformational experience. But the question is that grounded in something that's true? Because there are people who can have an experience of some kind, even with something just, I happen to watch Dr. Phil, or I happen to watch Oprah Winfrey, and I feel better after, I think my life is different as a result of watching these people. Really? Okay, that's not what we're talking about here, number one. But number two, we want to know if this experience you had is grounded in something true. That's a way to connect it. Then I'll know that this experience is yet another piece of evidence. And you're absolutely right. The belief that this is true is very different than belief in Christianity. And I always say it this way, that all the time I spent studying Jesus in the Gospels, that gave me belief that Jesus of Nazareth was everything he claimed to be. But that did not make me a Christian. When I started to examine what the New Testament said about me, and I now could trust it because I had tested it to see what it said about Jesus, I realized my own sense of depravity, my own sense of need. And then I was able to release all that stuff that I had put, that wall I had built up. That's what this really does. It's all God. If God had not first flipped the switch that made me interested to begin with, none of this would have happened. But once he did, it was the evidence that was provided for me from antiquity that really helped me to make that transition. And you're absolutely right. Now we feel the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. And we know it's the Holy Spirit because we've tested it and grounded it in the truth.
Not just transactional, but transformational. Last thing I want to ask you about in the minute or so we have left. In the book, you give a self-test, I think it is, a self-test to see if you're a qualified casemaker. So you sort of do an evaluation of your own qualities and what your capabilities are at this juncture of life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is something we start when you want to learn how to, you're starting to train. The first thing they'll show us in the academy is how pitiful we are in this area we're going to need to be trained in. And so you'll go out there, if you're going to box, you're going to go out there and get beat up. And at the end of that, you're going to realize, I'm not a very good boxer. So now you're going to train for the next 8 weeks in the academy, and you're going to become a pretty good boxer by the time you're done. Well, what started all that? What started it was a test that you failed. And it made you realize that I need to start training in this area. So I think if we were to take a test, and I provided what quick one you can do in a few minutes in the book, and if you do that test, you're going to see how you fare. How well are you ready right now to answer the most common, simple objections to Christianity? And if you do really well, great. But I suspect you're going to find yourself in several areas going, not feeling like I have a good answer for that. And that's the point. Now you know where you need to train. And hopefully you'll be excited about improving in that area, because who wants to do that poorly when you don't have to do that poorly? It's a matter of our own desire. Are we willing to train to get better at the thing we say is more important than anything else? If it is, let's train.
You know, it's always a joy to see people like you as you continue to grow in your ability to teach all of us how to be apologists, those who are always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, and you do it with gentleness and with respect. So we are deeply grateful for the gifting that God has given you and for this book.
Well, thank you so much, Hank. You know what a pivotal role you played in my own journey toward Christianity. So I'm just glad to be on the same radio show with you. I just appreciate you so much.
Thank you, J. Warner Wallace. Again, the book Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith. It really is a must read, and I'd like to kind of entice you to get two of his books, one Cold Case Christianity, Other Forensic Faith, for your gift of $100 or more. That'll make a lot of difference as we go forward in our ministry, but it'll make a big difference as you go forward in life. Both books available for your gift of $100 or more. For your gift to the ministry all this month, Forensic Faith, again, the author, J. Warner Wallace. You can find the book at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I say this often, we do what we do because life and truth really do matter. And what really makes a difference when it comes to communicating life and truth is people just like you standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. See you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.